We are recording.
Thank you. I'd like to officially call the LCRDA Compensation Committee, an ad hoc committee, to order. It is May 6, 2019, 2 p.m. And before we get started, I would like to see if there are any modifications, and I would suspect that none of you have any modifications because you're new to the group, so that's easy enough. And public, unfortunately, there's no public, so we will move down the line on that one. And probably we'll do some introductions if that's okay. And Linda, if you'll start us off with who you are and your about your background, and not the part that how I kind of pulled your arm and all that. Yeah. So that's what stands to join, but that.
Not the sleeve. Linda Barino. I have been in the world of HR and accounting for 30 plus years. In always in the private sector, and I just recently retired from my company where I had served as the controller and then moved into HR after 31 years. I retired there, and so now I am doing consulting, human resources consulting. So.
Very glad to have you, Linda. Thank you so much. And Sherry, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, I'm Sherry Morrison, and I'm the compensation analyst for Leon County government. I've been with them going on 3 years in June. I have probably over 25 years of professional experience. My undergrad is in math, and I also have an MBA. So I finally found my little niche in HR. The world of compensation. I get to play with numbers all day, and I love it.
Great.
I'll let Paul have my mouthful.
Okay, Paul Dean. I currently am the Vice President of Procurement for Dan Falls North America. Work out at the plant across the street. Mm-hmm. Been with on the board here for what, 3 years now? Two and a half years.
Oh, that's right. I take that back. Yeah, two and a half.
Yeah, 2.5 years. So, been in Tallahassee for 6 years now.
And I'm April Salter. I own Salter Mitchell PR and have been in business for about 20 years. And I've served on the board for, I don't know, three, four years. I think it seems like we came on at the same time, but it feels like it's been longer.
Somebody was still on a partial term. That's why I can't remember how that happened.
Yeah. But anyway, and thank you guys for agreeing to help us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Peggy Bilby. I'm the administrative coordinator for Innovation Park.
You've seen my contract. I'm Ron Miller, I'm the executive director.
The person behind the paper.
Yes. Okay.
I'm Kim Moore, and I serve as the vice president for Workforce Innovation at Tallahassee Community College, and also the chair for the ad hoc committee related to compensation. So we have an agenda in front of us, but what I'd like to move into right now is a review of the charge and the role of the committee. I will point out, as Ron mentioned to some of us early on, that this is a public notice meeting, and so that's the reason for reporting. Additionally, that this is an inaugural ad hoc committee that was pulled together, so thank you all for allowing us to make that happen. So two charges when you look at it for this committee, the first being to develop and recommend a compensation strategy, goals and purpose. I don't think it's so much about the purpose, but certainly I think in our goals and strategies we'll be able to lay out something. There is a focus on local entities of similar size and stature. However, and Ron, I'm hoping that we'll have the flexibility to take into account that if there is information on like organizations that are similar by way of revenue and other responsibilities, that maybe we'll be able to draw on that information tied to research parts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Because you won't find any other local research.
Exactly, because I was like, okay, how will that work? So that, and then the second charge will be, in addition to looking at what you saw in the notebook, the second charge is looking at the reward system. So total compensation package, if you will. And the great thing about our ad hoc group is that we have the flexibility to come up with those recommendations, and of course the executive committee will take it from there. So all is not final when we look at that. And you see the committee membership, we have honored that by making sure that it is comprised accordingly with three board members, private sector, and our government. So here, there. What we're going to do right now is walk through the different items that are in the notebook, primarily for awareness purposes, to see if there are any questions about those materials as you see them. We noted that for Paul and for April, we did update a set of papers, Section F. Today, and we'll provide those if we haven't already provided them. But if we could walk through that, the information that's been compiled. And Ron, you don't mind specifically calling out these pieces of information that's in the
sure.
Okay.
Can I just okay? So you have the schedule here. So we anticipate meeting two or three times.
We have that for number 8 on the agenda.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I didn't hit on that.
Okay.
Okay.
Just trying to get a sense of, like, how much do we need to accomplish in this meeting today?
So then I will, if it pleases everybody with the agenda modification, then I'll start there so that you have some sense of it. But anticipate no more than 3 meetings. Actually, I have 3 identified altogether, this one being the first one. The focus on the second meeting when we come together, because there will be a bit of homework, if you will, in between this meeting and the next. I will share these bullets with Ron and with Peggy so that they can go out to you electronically. But one, it will be the compiled information that we would have gathered. So basically in a matrix. I'd like for you all to see it in a matrix so that we could look at the comparison with the other like organizations, inclusive of their total compensation package. The other thing will be key strategies and possible goals. Now, that will be the areas that I'd like for you all to be creative. Now, these are not, I call it performance goals, because you don't know his job well enough to come up with specifics on that, but you can come up with high-level goals, areas that when you look at compensation packages or compensation committees and goals that they have come up with, that it would be reasonable enough that we might be able to back into some of those, as well as some strategies for why this might be a supportive function in the future. The third and final meeting will just be, because what will happen after the second meeting, I'll be doing some work as far as compiling everything that comes out of the second meeting to pull together what will be the final recommendation. It will be primarily for meeting 3 for you all to bless that. Bless it in a way, or if there are other tweaks that we need to make to it, but third gets us there. Peggy, if we haven't already done it, then a doodle poll so that we can identify those 2 dates that work with everybody. In meeting 3 as well, even though, again, we're not making, it's just a recommendation, we will include in our work any resources that you may have discovered during your research that would be helpful, as well as point out if there are financial implications. Now, we won't get into budget, but we can say, you know, it carries the dollar impact. Right. So it will be to that point. Is there anything that you all think might be missing if we look at targeting 2 meetings? Again, the second one being the compiled information, third being the final recommendation.
I think that sounds great.
Okay. So, Ron, what do we have in the notebook?
All right, so first up is the employment agreement. And just to give you a little background on that, and you would have also seen that in the salary history, is that I was hired as an interim administrator in August of 2012. The board at that time, I don't think, was quite sure what they wanted to hire after the previous director left. So there was a period of time of exploration as to what was going to work and what wasn't. That lasted about... I forget what the dates were, but...
August 7th of 2012.
Yeah, that's when I started. And then, I'm going to bounce around here for a minute. Let's go back to the...
2014.
This is kind of my history. So
yeah. 2014 is when you...
So, yeah, so remember. That's when, well, actually, in May of 2013, they hired me as the executive director on a 1-year contract.
Oh, okay.
And then it was in March of 2014 that they finally hired me, open-ended contract. So that's the contract that you're seeing there, is the March 2014 contract. They did amend it in 2015, basically just to put in some specific dates around an actual annual review, because it was sort of hit or miss. One of the challenges that we have is trying to hit meeting dates so that we get all the work done in time and the decisions made and approved before the October 1 start of the new fiscal year. So that's kind of what this amendment was all about, trying to get to. The contract itself, I don't know how much you want to drill down into that. If you have any questions you want me to answer, I'd be happy to answer those.
No, primarily from my vantage, just to gain some, ensure that there's a level of familiarity with the documents, and maybe if someone has questions along the way, but otherwise, are you all good with what you read? Okay.
Okay. So, again, the salary history, I've tried to document all of those different changing moving parts, and was able to annualize the increases based on, you know, the changes in dates and how many months they were in effect. That's what you see there. So, for example, in March of 2014, I got a 5.5% increase, but given the time that it elapsed, it actually annualizes out to 6.5%. Mm-hmm. So the annualized average annual increase has been 3.4% since inception. Did not include the original salaries. It really wasn't relevant. It was the that was a month-to-month contract.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and the included in that contract, and actually at the end of the very last bullet there on the salary history or footnote, was footnote 4. So they also, in that new contract, added 11.36% contribution for the Force 57B Deferred Compensation Retirement Plan in lieu of reclassifying me as a senior management service. They left me as a regular service, and that amount represented the difference in terms of what the authority would have paid had they reclassed me. So they gave me that percentage of my salary and put that into the 457 plan.
Was that a one-time event?
No, it's an annual.
It's annual, that's what I thought I had.
Yeah, because if I had participated at senior management class, or senior management services class, they would have paid that amount on my salary every year as part of the FRS retirement plan.
Okay.
You're familiar with FRS, the Florida Retirement System?
I don't know it.
And you would have had a much quicker vesting period, or, you know, a vesting period that is different.
So it's...
The regular class to the senior management class.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's a process you have to go through to reclass, and it is actually to my benefit to do that. The authority pays the same amount, but I actually get a larger percentage of that number.
Because of vesting?
Because of... There's a large
classification. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Well, also, there's a large percentage of what the authority would pay in all government agencies that are paying into FRS. They pay for past, or they're paying for the defined benefit unfunded portion of the plan.
Right.
So even if you're in an investment plan, the defined benefit plan, all employers are paying part of that unfunded piece. So I'm in the investment plan, but anyway, so it is to my benefit to get that, but it makes no difference to the authority. So the next document is the actual 457 plan. This is the same plan that Leon County participates in.
Yes, sir.
And it's mainly because it was developed for, I believe, the Association of Counties.
Yes.
It's a standard plan that they offer. This was actually in existence when I arrived here, and only myself, I'm the only one who participates in the plan. There's no... like a opportunity to match, like I think a couple of the entities in the Board of County Commissioners and the Supervisor of Elections.
Yes,
I think their members getting, if they make less than
$50,000,
they get a 50% match.
Yes.
Okay.
So there's not a retirement plan for employees.
There is. It's FRS. So they get their they get the standard regular service class.
3%.
Right. So they get 3%, and then we pay the same amount. Again, the authority pays the same fixed amount a percentage amount, regardless of whether it's the investment plan or the pension plan. Mm-hmm. The difference is what the employee gets. In the case of the regular service class in the investment plan, they get their 3% that they're contributing plus 3.3% that the employer contributes. But we still pay more than that to go towards a defined benefit plan to help fund that. I know way too much about that because we have a thing called GASB 68, which is a requirement that we have to do in our audit.
Absolutely.
And it's a major joke because it's like half of our audited financial statements is just for one footnote for that.
Okay, so for just a point of clarification, okay, the 457 plan, did I hear you say that you're the only
authority
participant?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And then the other staff is in the regular
yes.
retirement.
Career
plan.
Service.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Career. Thank you.
I am also in the FRS, okay, mm-hmm. but only as the regular service class member.
Okay. Now that makes a lot more sense what you said.
Yeah, which is why we only took the difference between the two contributions and put that into the 457.
That makes a lot more sense.
Now they could, to my knowledge, there's nothing that precludes us from allowing them to make voluntary contributions into the 457 plan. We have no matching feature, so the incentive is only there if you're trying to actually save for retirement and you need a vehicle to do that. And I will tell you that the FRS does not allow voluntary contributions in the investment plan. So if somebody really wants to accumulate more in their retirement plans, this is a nice vehicle to be able to do that.
And just a reminder for the ad hoc group that one of the items that I'm going to request after this meeting is the matrix that kind of lays it out.
That's
like, like at a glance, so you'll see who has what and what's.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sure. The next document is
thank you. Sorry.
This is the evaluation summary. So what we do is we send out. Annually send out this survey to the board members who complete it. We actually use a constant contact survey to do it electronically. And they record their scores and we summarize it for them, and that's what this is. So these are the elements that I'm evaluated on.
Okay.
And then also there's a place for them to record their comments. That's the last page of the evaluation. You see in page 3.
Well, I did read it, and your overall score is very good.
Thank you.
Very good.
I take a lot of pride.
Even though we have some tough graders.
She's talking about you, April.
I was looking at, I saw a trend. Sorry.
Yeah. We talk a lot about point systems and the challenges with point systems, but. Because we do a lot of grading of procurement things as well. So. This is starting to look kind of funky too, I don't know. So the next document you see is the Association of University Research Parks 2016 survey. And as I was telling Kim earlier, right after I sent this out, I got an email from the Association of University Research Parks saying they're running their 2019 survey. So that will run until mid-June. And I don't know yet how long it's going to take to get that back.
Okay.
But the Association of University Research Parks is, when you talk about having something to compare to that's not local, this is it. And the other problem you're going to have, and that we've talked about extensively with the executive committee, is that it's very hard to compare research parks. And the saying in the industry is, if you've seen one research park, you've seen one research park. So you have some that are privately run, you have some that are university run, you have some that are like us that are government entities, some that are nonprofits, some that are affiliates of universities, some that are really large, some that are really small. We're a 208-acre research park. There's a 3,000-acre research park in Huntsville, Alabama. Couldn't begin to compare us. We are also something, I didn't really put anything in there about this, but I don't know if I'm going to go into this, about how we're created. and what kind of entity we are.
That will probably give them some background.
Yeah, just and our board members know this stuff, but I think it would be important for you to understand. So we are what's considered a special district of Florida. Okay, so we are our own local government entity. We were authorized by state statute, but created by county ordinance. So it's under Section 157, Part 5, Florida statutes. And what that does basically is outlines what we're authorized to do. But the county, they have 7 appointments to our 11-member board. One is a county commissioner, and 6 are the private sector folks. And the mayor is on our board, as is the presidents of our 3 institutes of higher education have an appointment to the board, such as Kim. So FSU, FAMU, and TCC presidents each have an appointment. So that's our 11-member board. So we're governed independently by that board. There's only a couple things that the county has to approve, one being any debt issues that we do, and 2, just the appointments of board members. We do report some other information from like our annual budget, but it's not in statute. I don't recall that we have to do that in our audited financial statements.
Question for you, yeah. Tied to benefits, would the association or connection to the county, would it allow us, when it comes to benefits that are not necessarily being realized right now, for us to piggyback?
Yes.
Where the economy is,
that was my big question.
And I asked Sherry that question. I probably could have led off with that earlier. We didn't have the answer when we went to press with the agenda packet. The last item that you'll see that we'll go through is the Leon County benefits package. And I don't know if we have an update, but do you want to tell them what you found out?
The response that I get, did you get the response?
Yes, but yeah. There was a couple others you were checking on.
We did not hear back from Reliance Standard, but as far as the dental vision, you all are already withheld.
Disability,
you all are able to pick that.
Okay, so then that's wonderful. This will make this
easier
to pick. Okay.
Yeah, it's, I mean, especially when you consider we're, you know, a staff of 4 people.
Right.
To try to negotiate our own benefits.
Exactly. Yeah.
So from a benefit standpoint, this could be relatively easy.
Right.
Right. And because you all are already with us with the health, so they said it wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, so the big opportunity, I think, just from my own look at it, and we can talk more when we get down there, but the life insurance obviously is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And that is an employer-paid benefit.
Yeah.
And then the one that you didn't have an answer to was the flexible spending account,
right.
Which I think would be beneficial as well because of the tax break for that.
Right. We still did not hear back from them as late as this morning. I asked our benefits person.
And I think that is something that if we had to set up one of our own, we probably could. It's I don't think it's a complicated deal. It's a Section 125 plan.
Right.
Yeah. Circle around 125 as to where y'all were. I don't need to know the county.
They do. They have.
We have.
That's what I figured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
as far as
and do they actually
been able to come in? Yeah, that's
the
question.
Do they actually process your payroll?
No, that's the problem.
Okay.
So we have our own employer identification number. So I believe we would probably have to set up our own section.
But it's not hard. I have one for my company. It's not hard.
I've done it before.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so this survey's got a nice way of breaking down a lot of stuff, even if you can't read it on here. Man, that did mess up, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. I thought it was in Chinese.
One of the things that, as I looked through it, that I couldn't quite understand, and I know that it is very difficult to compare these, but because we outsource such a big part of the operations, I didn't see a question that kind of dealt with that. Because it's sort of like you have part duties and then non-part duties, and a good portion of the part duties are handled by TAL Corp.
Well, I'm trying to remember, but one of the documents in here that talks about when they are speaking to the directors for these part of really what level of responsibility, what did right. they have as oversight, and I don't have to find it in here, but I saw that. I was like, okay, well, that's a good distinction because...
Right, because they are so different.
Yeah, it's And it's talking about this, does a senior person responsible for the park also have other non-park related responsibilities?
Right, but the park, well, if you look at park responsibilities, there's sort of two buckets. One is the leasing and the property management and all of that, and then there's all the other stuff.
But town core handles
the first. You could explain that
better. Let me put something up here real quick.
And if I'm bogging us down,
that's exactly what this first meeting was supposed to be about, is asking a question.
So we have four staff, and then we have two extensions of our staff, I'll say. Mm-hmm. And one is our general counsel, and then the other is our property manager. The property manager actually has an on-site maintenance supervisor that works here a better part of a week, not full-time, but close to it. And she manages him, but I manage her. And Talcor does our accounting, but I oversee what they do.
And I can tell you that he does oversee that very well. I'm the treasurer.
And you don't have my resume. I didn't talk about that, and I'd be happy to provide my resume.
I read your bio.
Okay. So I've spent a lot of time as a financial person, and I was a CPA through 2012 in Indiana. When I moved to Florida, I didn't take it with me. Didn't see the need, given what my new duties were, to try to figure out how to get that done. But I also have an MBA in entrepreneurship, which fits in nicely with what we do here. But I think one of the things, if you look at my scores on the evaluation, the board really likes having the financial skills. And given the past history that the park went through some financial troubles, that I think there's a level of comfort because of my background.
Because of that.
But also, in my background, I have been involved in real estate development, property management, early in my career, and every step of the way, in some shape or form, I've dealt with real estate, property management, the redevelopment of buildings. You can't be a CFO of a company and not be involved in those things. Mm-hmm. But I did work for a general contractor as their financial manager and did some of those things. But to answer your question, backing up a little bit, I do have to manage those people, maybe not to the level, because they have their own managers. But I will tell you, in large part, I do manage them because their managers are more focused on how they work with all of their clients, in Talcor in particular. But in terms of that day-to-day operation, it's me managing that that person. So I look at it more as these people are extensions of what we do.
Right.
They're just not full-time with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes sense.
And these are just some of the duties, because I know that question came up. I think, Linda, I think you asked that question. That is not in there.
I'm doing a running list so I can get back to Barry on.
Yes. Well, when we got that question this morning, we actually have this in our board member orientation. This is where I pulled that from.
Good.
Any questions about that? And we'll figure
it out. We'll figure out.
I'm glad that you were the only one that could read it.
I speak multi-language.
I think I might be able to give you the link to the actual document online, but...
It's fine in the packet.
Yeah.
And actually, it was fine
online.
I don't understand why mine's not showing up. I think there's a font issue with
yes.
Adobe, but... Anyway,
you hired a teacher from Charlie Brown. That's what happened.
Exactly.
So The personnel policy actually defines a lot of our benefits in terms of how they're paid and whether it's annual leave, sick leave.
Okay.
Notice of arrest or charge.
I love that. I don't know where that would have come from.
I think that might also be in my contract.
Right. Okay.
I will tell you, I do get people that other research parks that call me and say, "Hey, can we have a work document copy of your policies because we want to copy them."
Well, that's quite flattering.
It is.
Rob, when was the last time? Let's see.
2014.
Okay. Oh, 2016 has been the last revised.
Yeah, so a lot of these policies were actually developed before I got here. That's what the board spent a lot of time after the problems that they had in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
When they got the new director in, the board spent a lot of time rewriting these. We've just tried to keep them updated and adjust these. Because we have doubled our size of our employment. Since I started, we were two and
four. Four plus.
So there are things you just don't contemplate when you have that kind of growth. So the big piece related to benefits goes down to 7 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have overtime. I mean, we have opportunity to pay overtime, but we just don't. We don't allow people.
We
don't allow them to work overtime.
Right.
Yeah.
We require them to work overtime, but we refuse to pay it. Well, that's good.
Yeah. No, for the record,
we do not do that.
Is the staff? Are they exempt? Are they all exempt?
They should
they,
all be.
They are.
It appeared to be from what.
They are, but the policy actually provides for compensatory leave, and we manage that fairly easily. I mean, they've got a pretty good work schedule. We're not pushing people to work a lot of extra time. When an event happens or something, they've got to work over. Usually, I got to have them come in late the next day or whatever. We're very, very flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And what's not reflected in policy is that we do allow. Working remotely on Fridays. So.
Okay.
Is Michael also exempt?
Yes.
He would seem to be one that would be.
That's what I was thinking too.
Yeah.
That would run beyond a regular 40 just because of external.
And basically,
that he would be not, that he would be in. I was get that.
He would fall on the compensatory leave.
Yeah.
Who is this that we're talking about?
Michael, who's Michael?
Titnowski. He's a director of entrepreneurship.
Oh, okay.
But again, I also allow him to be flexible with his time.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. But he's someone who could potentially, I think he would be considered management and not.
Yeah, I mean, we'd have to look at the duties there that are associated, there's two pieces that you have to look
right.
at.
Right.
But just even looking at, their bios.
Yeah.
They struck me as being exempt, but
I would say that Denise. I would say Denise is and Peggy are not.
And I haven't looked at that.
Yeah.
But again, based on what the policy provides for, that they would.
For education would be the only thing. Duties may not. The duties could be. We can have a discussion.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
this has seemed very high level to me.
Oh, okay. And I didn't look at about
yeah,
it yet.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the benefit piece, the health insurance, we do participate in CHP, the county CHP HMO.
Mm-hmm.
We do not participate in the Florida Blue.
Okay.
It's an option that they have. I don't know how many people actually take that because HMO is pretty darn good.
You'd be surprised more than I thought.
They have a PPO.
Actually, they do the Florida Blue.
Is that more?
I think
for
they
folks?
Like it if they are on vacation up north or whatever.
It's the out of network stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's easier for them to if an emergency. So more than I could actually get you the percentage, but it's more than I.
And I suppose that's something we could look at, whether it makes sense to offer that as an option.
Yeah, what normally happens, I mean, even just kind of referring back to TCC or even some of the other plans that we looked at for our companies, is that they it's available, but the employee is left to pay the difference between here's the amount that we will offer relative to insurance and health companies.
And this one, the rates are actually the same.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they're pretty close.
Yeah. Oh, they're significantly different for us.
But there's It, every year is different, too.
Oh, right.
And they have another feature, your value-based something or other?
Yes, we have a program called Work Rewards. And so basically, if you complete this survey and do different things throughout the year, you get a discount on your health insurance.
But there's also the value-based rate, though, is something different, right? That's if you...
That's it. It's smaller. It's a less, less of a monthly amount based on that. So it could be how much you walk a week, you know, watching your food, financial budgeting, just things like that. We call it total rewards in the office, and it's a survey that's done annually.
Do you all participate in that, Ron?
No.
That something?
No.
Okay, so that could even be...
And that is in the packet at the end. We can talk go to it a little bit more.
Okay.
So it's just part of your wellness program.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Okay. They also have a $150 a year reimbursement for being a member of
working out,
CHP has that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
it's through CHP.
But for some reason, we don't know about that. So.
Oh, really?
So is this breakdown right now what we currently have in the county as well?
Yes.
Yeah, that's so when we amended in 2014, we changed it to this for anyone hired after October 1, 2014, we went to this the same rates as the county.
Mm-hmm.
The same reimbursement rate. And then part-time employees do have access if they work in more than 30 hours per week. Or not less than 30 hours a week. And again, it's a...
Yeah, that's an ACA to be in compliance.
Yeah.
And that happened about 3 years ago. Did that happen? 3 or 5 years ago that happened?
Oh, no. It was such a nightmare. I'm trying to walk it out.
Yeah.
I mean, all the implementation, you know.
Right.
So annual leave.
Yes, about 5.
Annual leave is starts out at 8 hours per month. And then adjusts after 5 years, as you see there. Sick leave accrues 8 hours of sick leave per month.
Now, this is for regular staff.
Yes, mine's
because yours is a different.
It's in the contract.
Okay.
Yeah. And sick leave, I mentioned part-time employees get a pro rata amount. One thing that's really interesting is this reimbursements at termination. So we pay, with some exceptions, 100% of any accrued vacation leave, not more than 240 hours on, I think it's a particular date. And then 25% of any accumulated sick leave, which is something that I think we ought to talk about. It is a big number and growing. I think we ought to take a look at that, particularly how flexible we can be with hours and all of that. But just to stick that in your mind to think about.
I actually had tagged that in my opinion that was a very generous plan. That bullet point, that item B, is very, very generous.
And that's
generous.
Pretty standard. I know the state does that. I know we
at that rate. Mm-hmm. At that rate.
And it doesn't cap out.
No.
See, this is where the short-term disability is very helpful because if if they had a need for,
right.
It would immediately kick over to that, so then you can cap the sick leave at, 240 or 180 or whatever you want to do, and then the short-term will pick it up for anything that's,
Yeah, I think I've got, and again, even it's for salaried people, so, I mean, like me, I've got like 400 hours of sick leave accumulated that I'll never use.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's and especially if you're going to pay it out, right. Pay out a quarter of it.
But again,
I don't pay out sick leave. You leave.
You don't.
You weren't sick.
and that's the thing.
A lot more generous than industry.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so we will.
Yeah, it's that's much more generous than private sector, yeah. In my experience.
Yeah, because
mine too.
Let me give you an example. For instance, like in the industry, when you talk about the percent from employee to employee, it's about 30% versus it's closer to 20% for us, for you guys.
You talking about health insurance?
Yeah, health insurance.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And we upped it from 10 to, you know, to 15, and then graduated based on the other pieces. But but definitely, I think looking at maxing out the sick leave, and I didn't press it because we didn't have short-term disability. That you really did kind of need a disability policy built in with this.
Yes.
So, but I think there's a way we can tweak that and still have it be fair for the employees, but not killing us down the road. Didn't have a problem before when I first started because we turned a bunch of people over real quick. Now we got all these great people. And
so does the county have short-term disability?
We do, and actually
turnover is both good and bad.
They'll pay 75% of the salary up to 90 days.
Yes. Yeah.
So, anyway, that's...
And they have to burn their sick leave before they can... They have to burn their vacation before they can use their... Go into short-term disability?
Or, no. They can go to short-term disability, so you can even supplement the other 25% if you want your full...
Okay. And remind me, does short-term disability cover pregnancy, maternity leave?
I don't...
If the doctor, you know, I'm sure with the doctor's note or something, it would.
Yeah.
I can't remember. That's always a big thing.
If there's a complication.
If there's a complication, but not regularly. Let's see if I have it here. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so we have FRS mentioned in here. And again, that's just all dictated by what the state does. Holidays, we have 10 holidays a year, which are the basics plus the day after Thanksgiving and either the day before or the day after Christmas. Bereavement, 3 days. Administrative leave, haven't had any of that yet. And then the termination provisions.
Jury duty?
Yeah, I think it's in there. And then these are disciplinary grievances. Okay. This is the, you'll see the FRS rates. So when I mentioned what the employer pays, that's in this column. Here, you see that. So regular class is 8.26. The senior management class is 24.06. So that spread is actually widened. So instead of being 11.6, it's now 16, almost 16. But you'll see the employee pays 3% regardless. I don't know if this has the credit rate. Yeah, you'll see here the regular class gets 6.3%. Senior management service class gets 7.6% going to their actual account in the investment plan. Obviously, the defined benefit plan is, you know, defined based on length of service and that sort of stuff. These are our health insurance rates. I did identify a difference between what the county's plan is and what our plan is. I don't know if you noticed that. Even though we pay, the $728 is the total cost from the provider. I noticed in something that I received that there's a safe harbor provision that Leon County has. Is there a cap on the amount of increase?
Ooh.
As I saw that in the email I received from Lorenzo.
Yeah, Lorenzo Open Payroll?
Yeah. He sent me the rates. But anyway, that's something we can take a look at.
Okay.
So I think they've capped out their increases. It works out, you know, $4 or $5. But
okay. Yeah, I wasn't aware of that.
$4 or $5 a paycheck, I think, mm-hmm. but for a single. Now, the employee plus one in the family is the same, but so that's something we need to take a look at.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I think that is something that they added this year. I don't think we had that before. So, yeah, I do see that here.
That it's $99.
75 cents
yeah.
mm-hmm, per single. Yes.
So that's, like I said, I had not seen that before, but but we also don't have a provision policy to do that. So
right.
if we're going to do that, we need to get it in policy to do something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
It's still, as insurance rates go, it's very, very, very reasonable,
mm-hmm.
as Paul mentioned. And then last but not least is the, I think it's the last, is the benefits guide for Leon County's Board of County Commissioners, Clerk of Courts, and Supervisor of Elections. Does Leon, the regular Leon County employees, fall under the Board of County Commissioners?
Yes.
Okay. Who does this not cover? Affiliate with the county, do you know?
I think the sheriff, they have their own
okay.
separate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I know you'll notice when you go through here that they talk about who
mm-hmm.
who it covers and who it doesn't. So,
right.
so not everything in here do all three groups get. So, so this is it's pretty good. It's on page 4 of 32, attachment J. Those are the employee contributions per biweekly paycheck. So we also get paid biweekly. It's page 82 of the whole document. There you go. So this is really sort of the rundown of all the benefits that the county has and what the cost is. It's all paid by employees except for the medical and life insurance. Okay. The life insurance rate's not on here, but it's 52 cents per thousand. And that's monthly.
Yes.
Okay. And that's, yeah, and that cost is borne by the employer.
Mm-hmm.
Our total compensation. Now, one question I had is so the determination of whether it's a management class or regular class, you had mentioned it's one time salary for the regular class.
Career service. Mm-hmm.
And two time salary for the senior
management.
Mm-hmm. What is the determination of that? Is that the same as FRS?
No, it's actually based on, like we were talking earlier, the class you're in, so exempt, non-exempt. Senior management are usually your higher level managers, directors of programs, division directors, things of that nature.
So that's something we would have to determine is who falls into which of those classes,
mm-hmm.
one times or two times
mm-hmm.
salary.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you our salary is, and it's a cap at $250,000
yes.
salary.
Yes.
Or of coverage, I'm sorry.
Coverage, mm-hmm.
So $125,000 salary
for
two times. Okay.
Yes.
So our total salary, I had it a second ago, I think it's $322,000. If you gave me two times, then you would have to add about another $105,000. So $427,000. Yeah, I'm gonna count at 52 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Oops, about a thousand. That per month.
222.
Yep. So it's not a big. It's not a huge number. That's
mm-hmm.
an annual number, $2,600.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, okay, so Ron, thank you for walking us through that. So, again, just to tie us back to where we are and hearing what other information we'll need. So, the list that I was compiling, and you all will probably have some things as well, the current salary and benefit comparison. So that was going to be, in essence, our matrix in terms of what employees have access to, broken into the two categories that we currently, what's actual right now. At the same time, we're going to pull out the Leon County matrix of what it costs, what each of their employees by the two categories, what they have available and the costs associated with it, which we could probably just pull that out into a matrix. Those that we had questions on, if you'll help us out, really tied to, I think, maternity and the other
short-term
disability. Yeah, so if you'll provide us with that. The other was tied to employee status. That it appears that we would need to go ahead and confirm and align these categories
yes.
as a recommendation. So getting, if we could get the categories from you shared with us yeah. about the two groups, manager and
career service.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we may use, but how do we make it?
Do you have a definition that we can apply?
Exactly. So we want to. The other thing is tied to the AURP, which would be the innovation of the parks.
Mm-hmm.
We understand that a survey is likely underway. If we don't have the survey, it looks like that's taken June, that if we could get a set of questions, because I know you're going to be answering that, and I think they've sent you the link, then perhaps sharing that with the group so that we can get some, maybe we can glean something from those questions that they're asking, and then back in.
Yeah, I think it should be similar to this one.
Probably
would
be the same.
Yeah,
you think it's going to be the same?
It would make sense to me. That way you can do year on year.
Well, but the last one they did was 2016.
Oh, that was the last one?
Yeah, so that's why I'm thinking that.
I thought that was just, they didn't publish it until 10 years later.
Perhaps they have a different line of thought 3 years ago that
you
might be able
that
to.
Changes their thoughts on that. Thank you.
I'll get that, and hopefully we can at least read it. So.
The other piece is that, again, these are it's a combination of individual things that we'll need to do, but the policy review and primarily focusing in on 7 and 8, just by virtue of the walkthrough mm-hmm. that we did today. I'll send this all out in email for you, or I'll send it to Ron and Peggy, and they'll get it distributed so that we do it appropriately. Was there anything else that came up that you all heard in the way of possibly goals, strategies, which one might be, again, looking at how often we review the policy tied to our, not so just compensation, but just with the
personnel policy.
Yeah.
I don't know that this fits necessarily there, but I want to make sure, I want to be clear on an area of concern that I have that it doesn't just get rolled into what attorney's doing, is that we need to make certain that the duties and the compensation of the staff is properly categorized, classified as exempt versus non-exempt, because that's regardless of what the county's doing.
Right.
That's just federal regulations.
Yeah. That's a great one. Anything else that kind of bubbles up there? Because the idea is that by the time we get to meeting two, that we will have much of what we need for three already laid out and draft.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to see staff job descriptions?
Yes. That's going to be the key.
And you all will help us out on this.
Yeah. I don't live in that rural part.
If you and I needed to meet all. No,
we can't.
Because of the
I do have their formal job descriptions.
Just email those.
Yeah,
that we could both take a look at it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Other things that came up, but just by way of our conversation here, that we'd want to look at in the future.
One thing we didn't talk about.
What's that?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
When you were mentioning upping the sick leave payout from the 25%,
I think he was talking about reducing it or capping.
All reducing
the amount that gets reimbursed on the long-term. Capping is probably better.
I thought you were saying up, and I was like, no.
What other things? I don't think if there was anything else. Paul, anything else?
Did you ask for a side-by-side comparison, what we have now versus
yes.
the mm-hmm. So we're good at it.
Yeah.
And I've seen, and we've had discussion about the short-term disability, but I see a long-term disability. Is there a long-term disability that's about that the county offers?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There is? Okay.
So I think a lot of what we end up getting by way of the matrix, it'll be easy enough, I think, to align the benefits portion of it. Then we'll that'll give us time to look at the other part, both relative to Ron's contract and what that looks like, and all the survey that we hope at least get the questions.
Right.
Let me ask you guys something. Does Leon County offer short-term incentives to your salaried employees? Bonuses?
We do it based on performance annually. Yeah. It's 0 to 5%, and it's based on performance. Yeah.
Can you share that with us?
Because I think that would be helpful as well.
Is that a bonus or is that a raise?
That's a raise. Yeah,
That's a raise.
I thought you were thinking one-time bonus. No.
Yeah.
Other than employees that are at the max, what we call our red circle employees.
Okay.
So that
instead of getting a raise, you give them cash.
Yes.
Okay. So it's a one-time deal.
A one-time annual.
I love bonuses.
Has that been considered?
That is in place.
A bonus.
Yes.
Only for those who are maxed out of their salary band. Right.
That's a one-time adjustment, right? Cash, right?
Yeah.
Same. So their salary stays the same. And just
but it's annual. So each year,
instead of
the 3%,
they get it in cash.
So
it just doesn't accumulate.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Right, exactly.
And they don't have to do it if they don't want to.
The reason I was asking, because I know in industry, everyone has some type of incentive.
Mm-hmm.
It may be a lower level, but it's something between 5 and 10%
mm-hmm.
and employees get on top of their annual increase, or they're eligible for if they meet their criteria and goals and things like that.
Ron, does the association that we're part of, do they also serve as a central depository of information from like groups like ours?
There are ways to get that kind of information, but let me just tell you about bonuses. There are statutory limitations that came into effect in 2011. I know I got to Florida just in time for that. the legislature, I think at the behest of the governor, said we shouldn't be paying bonuses out to government employees.
I was going to say that. You can't
even say the federal government still gets it.
Yeah, but the state doesn't. There's a statute that
you know, I can't even call it the word. It's a one time payment used as an accelerator, but it's not the infamous B word.
So that's
accelerator.
So we've had counsel do some investigation of this.
Yeah.
The council has investigated this, and I can pull that information for you.
Okay.
And include that to take a look at. Every time we say we're not going to do it, somebody says, well, I heard so-and-so down South Florida is doing it this way. Why can't we?
Mm-hmm.
And then we can never get that verified from anyone that says
it. So the reason I was asking, the reason I think we need to look at it is because if we're going to mirror what the county has right now, you may not be able to do it. But from the competitiveness level,
mm-hmm.
you know, you want to retain employees. You don't want them to be pulled from you and you lose them because of things like that.
Well, I agree. I think I was in the private sector too, and I know how they work, and it's helpful.
Yeah, I think that's one of our targets too, to look at the reward system. So again, we can put that forward as a recommendation, and luckily we'll have council involved, so if we're clearly off the base that we need to be, that you can correct us. Is there anything else? Otherwise, what you're going to get is a compiled email identifying next step actions and resources that you'll need to kind of get us to that next meeting. And again, I'll restate in that email comes out through by them what things will need to be prepared for, what things you can share in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
This has been great.
Let's see, with regard to our agenda.
The one other thing I wanted to mention we didn't talk about was the question of in-town mileage.
Mm-hmm.
Does the county have any reimbursement policy related to
that? Yes, and we use the standard federal rate. I think it's 44 cents a mile.
The IRS.
54 cents.
Is it 58
now?
Yeah, it's been going up every year.
Even though gas prices are
not
down.
The state rate?
The federal rate.
Yeah.
Because that's the IRS rate.
Yeah, but the state.
Generally, IRS and the feds.
Yeah, I mean, you don't
same.
Have to mirror. It just makes life easy, as you well know.
Well, the only thing I'll tell you, there's a statute related to expense reimbursement, and it can get complicated sometimes figuring out what statute applies to which local government organization or entity.
Mm-hmm.
We can check that, but I was just curious if you.
if you have a formal policy that I can see, that would be very helpful.
Sure.
So I can at least cross-check that against what I know it to be. Okay. My contract actually says I have to follow state statute in terms of expense reimbursement for travel.
Okay.
And so there's per diem rates
for
food, limitations for hotels.
They still pay $3 for breakfast?
I think we're up to six.
It's six, nine.
Wow.
Six, 11.
You can go to Burger King for that.
19.
Yeah.
So is that what you do?
Yes.
Yeah. We
and they, I don't think they've raised the mileage rate in forever. It's like 45 cents for state.
Mm. I just don't even worry about in town. Okay.
Well, and that's, and I don't either. And the only reason I say that is for the longest time it was just me.
Yeah. But the other,
And so, and then what we do now is I say, if you got somewhere to go, do it on your way home. You know, it's commuting. So we'll just cut the distance. But since Michael has started with us, he does a lot more in-town driving.
Correct.
I think he's learning how to manage that a little bit, but he still has probably more in-town driving. We do reimburse parking. That's, you know, that's a clear out-of-pocket expense.
Yeah.
But the in-town mileage is something that's a little tricky. And I just want to see if there's a way we can deal with that. I don't want to encourage it, but you know,
but you certainly want to acknowledge that it's happening.
When there are times, you know, that makes sense to do it, as long as we manage it.
Right. Yeah.
On the one hand, the park is distant to many other places. On the other hand, it's hard to, you know, I mean.
Yeah, but
most places don't do in town.
Yeah, mileage. And you're asking someone to use their personal vehicle. And there's wear and tear, not to mention gas.
Yeah.
And there's some liabilities also associated with it if they have an accident.
If they have an accident, if they're
on
a company business, then they should be. And so, if they're using their company, their personal vehicle, I would recommend that, and you probably already do, that you require a certain level of personal insurance coverage.
We actually have non-owned vehicle coverage on our policies.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have insurance that in the event, because even on your personal policies, if you use it for work, your personal policy is going to come after your employer.
Mm-hmm.
So we have non-owned insurance coverage. And again, in terms of
personal
use,
coverage is going to come before the employer.
Yeah, but they'll want subrogation rights to come back to the employer.
I'm just saying from the private sector, in the business that I was in, we did require that they had certain limits. Of course, I had the non-owned vehicles covered as well, but I did want to make sure that Susie had insurance on her personal vehicle, that I wasn't assuming this big, big canyon of exposure.
But
your group is small, but that doesn't. But the size really shouldn't dictate the requirements.
But again, the way we've tried to manage in terms of the personal use and minimize the expense to the employee is allowing them to work it on the way into work or the way out. But if she's got to run to the store, she'll do that.
Right.
That way.
But except Michael,
mainly because he's down in Wakulla. And there's nothing between here and Wakulla that he's going to go to. So he's always going the other direction, whereas I live, the rest of us live northeast. So to go anywhere else, we're going that way on our way home. So
what we'll do then is look at what the policy that the county has on it.
Yeah.
We'll bring that forward so that you'll see if there's any conflict with it. Sherry?
I was going to say, I know I looked this, researched this before I came. We do have car allowances for certain positions, and it's $29.25 annually, or like $112.50 biweekly that certain positions get.
So we could have that, because one of the things that we're talking about tied to, and this would be an example of Ron's little, when we look at what other benefits other group folks that are serving in that same position might have.
Mm-hmm.
So if you'll share that, we'll give you a laundry list by way of pay.
Okay.
If you'll share the policies.
And then also the cell phone.
Oh.
It's $45
a
month.
I had that written down too.
So I thought about that for you.
So they're using
the
personal phone.
We have a limited budget.
Exactly.
And a budget that is always of concern. So as we take from one pocket, we may then have to say, well, we can't afford these positions.
Mm-hmm.
or other things as we make enrich a benefit package.
You all are exactly right, because what will be, go along with our recommendation, again, as a reminder from the onset, it will be financial implications.
Yes.
Right. So we're gonna put that on the sign so that everybody knows that it's great, but yes, these aren't new, it's not washed, it's here's what it is.
Right.
And Ron, you
our
are
best to estimate.
Yeah, our best estimate.
Thank you, Treasurer.
Ron's going to improve the revenue stream. So we're
I'm just worried about leases.
But on the cell phones, are they using the personal phones and get reimbursed a fixed rate, $45 a month? What happened with the city? Didn't the city switch to all
city-owned
phones because of tracking issues?
You haven't
gone there yet?
Mm-mm.
Okay, we'll leave that one.
Well, there's no exemption for using your public, your personal phone.
We have communicated that it's a public record. Text messages and
absolutely.
Any other records related to it.
You can't get away from it, so
exactly.
But y'all actually more generous than us, because it's $45 flat, and that's regardless of how many devices you have. Like, I do two phones, an iPad, and all that.
Okay.
So we don't have any new business because we just got started. Mm-hmm. Yay. And that moves us to, unless there are other comments or questions, moves us to the point of adjournment.
And you're going to send out the meeting dates?
Absolutely. Well, Peggy's going to send out the doodle poll for the dates.
Okay.
And then it will be the running list. Peggy, I commit to giving you my information by tomorrow.
Perfect.
Okay. To keep us all going. Okay. Thank you all for being here today.
Yes, thank you very much.
You run a tight ship. I love it.